Good morning. How are you going?
Very well. You're in Melbourne, John?
Yep, currently in Melbourne, writing and rehearsing with band.
Not catching any of the tennis?
Actually, no, I was in the studio all day yesterday, so I totally missed out. But I sort of only ever watched the last few rounds. I like the bits at the end, you know?
Because I remember we spoke to you last year and you had been awake pretty much the entire night watching the final. I think it was Wimbledon.
I like a good final, and I like a good semi-final, and maybe even a quarter-final if it's sort of
like if you're at a concert, you don't like watching the warm-up bands, John. you turn up for the headline act.
You sorta.
Well, that was true because we were on the legal tender tour, and John never saw us. So he was too.
Yeah. Hey, Roger. I stayed around for sound check, mate. I needed to, you know, watch you guys without the throng of the crowd getting in my way, mate.
John Toogood, if I could ask you then, just a question off the top of my head: can you remember the name of Roger's band then? if you enjoyed watching them.
You're a bastard, Bryce.
Can you remember it?
Hold on. Wait. It wasn't Motorhead, was it?
No, we did a Motorhead song, though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. My old brain gets confused.
I'll let you off. Speaking of the Legal Tender show, the last one in Taranaki in New Plymouth, and you guys all got up and did an AC/DC or a couple of AC/DC songs, didn't you?
It was sort of like something we talked about with the Airborne Boys and the Living End Boys for a bit. It's sort of one night after one of the earlier shows on the tour, sort of drunkenly joked about it, and then it was like last days coming up, and it was like, actually, I reckon we could do this. So took a little bit of organising, getting everyone at the same, you know, in the same place, same time, and it was good.
It was a bit of a shame, Ricardo, our music man, Ball, jumped on stage and tried to take over.
Yeah, which bit was he doing?
He tells a great story, John. A great story about how he was backing vocals with... in fact, I overheard him. He didn't know I was there, but he was telling a great story about how he was on stage with Johnny and the Boys of Shehab and up there with the Living End. And what were you doing? Well, backing vocals. I reckon his mic was switched off, John.
You reckon they Britney Spears?
Well, yeah. I hope they did. John, you're in the country next week to support AC/DC, and we'll talk more about that next.
We've been in the rehearsal space in South Melbourne for the last 3 days. Rehearsing because we've all had the Christmas off, and anything past like 3 or 4 weeks without a show for me, I get a bit nervous. You know, mm-hmm. I don't like not playing.
Yeah.
I feel, because you've always got to have one or two that, you know, we go, even though you've played this a couple of songs a million times, you always would go, oh, that's right, halfway through a song, and I just don't want to be doing that on stage at the Cape Town, you know?
No.
Now, John, I've had the pleasure of chatting to you a few times over the years, and it's come through quite a lot that you're a big AC/DC fan. Am I right? Have you opened for AC/DC before, right early on?
We've done it 4 times. Once, twice on the Razor's Edge tour, and then twice on the Ball Breaker tour, I think.
And right. Is it intimidating playing in a band, in front of a band, or opening for a band that you love? Does that make it harder, or is it more exciting?
Well, it's a different priority. The idea of blowing the main act off the stage is just irrelevant when you're playing with someone as good as AC/DC. What it's for me, it's like I get to see my favourite band in the world 3 times, and I get paid to do it.
Mm.
And it's just the best thing in the world, really. You know.
Do you get to meet them?
Time, you know, Phil Rudd, sort of the drummer, watched us play, and he sort of backed us for bigged up us for quite a while. But I think he lives in Tauranga anyway, so he's a bit of a Kiwi. So I met Malcolm Young in Vancouver when we were making General Electric. They were making a record downstairs in the studio for Mark, and he was really good then. And Brian Johnson made us
stew one night, which was really good. But they were lovely.
Now, we talked to Gary Van Egmond, he's the promoter, and he said AC/DC have 82 containers of gear. Mm-hmm. We talked to the chicks yesterday. They've got a back of a Toyota Starlet for their gear. What about she had? How much gear?
I reckon, so they've got a Toyota Starlet. I reckon maybe we'd have a Toyota Hiace and a half.
Hiace and a half. I was thinking maybe a bongo van.
Yeah, I love those bongos. They're sweet.
Yeah.
So, chick magnet.
So that wouldn't even equate to one container, would it, really?
No, not at all. No.
82 containers. That's mind-blowing.
But they've got big blow-up Rosies and blow-up Angus's. Oh, mate, honestly, I've seen them four times. They're still probably all four of those shows are in my top ten. You know, like they sound better than anybody else I've ever heard, especially rock music. They work, you know, for the whole 2.5 hours, and it's just like you know every song. You know, it's just. Even if you're not an AC/DC fan, I reckon you'd be surprised at how many songs you'd know.
Yeah.
But they're rocking, man. They just kick, you know.